They're ferocious, they're passionate, they're quirky. Above all, they are loyal. That's the Macintosh Apple community. They've always treated their computers not so much as a computer as an experience. So it's really no wonder that Apple's announcement of new software yesterday drew strong reaction from a heavily Mac-slanted blogosphere. The new software called Bootcamp allows Windows XP, which some Mac fans view as the dreaded and despised Windows XP, to run on Intel-based Mac computers. Here to tell us more about Bootcamp and to round up some of the reaction on the web is Leander Caney. He's the managing editor at Wired.com, as well as the author of the Cult of Mac blog, which documents the culture of the Mac community. Joining us now from his office in San Francisco. Nice to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And we'd like to hear any members of our audience who are in the Cult of Mac or also Windows lovers. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. Leander Caney, Mac users are not only very passionate, they're immensely disdainful of Windows and its parent company. So what's been the reaction to this news of Bootcamp?
It's a mixed reaction. Some are appalled, of course, you know, that their beloved Macs now run Windows. But in general, I think, people are delighted. They're really pleased that Apple's finally taken the bull by the horns and is being aggressive about going after market share.
And that's to say Apple, we've all heard of it, but it's only about, 4% of the PC business?
Well, new PC sales are between 2% and 4%.
And that's nothing as compared to the Microsoft universe. And I'm sure that there's some conspiracy theorists out there that say this is just Microsoft getting its hooks into Apple now.
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, they now have, almost a 100% monopoly on the PC business. You know, Macs these days are they're native Windows machines, the same as the machines that Dell and Gateway and all the others sell.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about people who have actually tried to run this software? Is it working well?
Oh, it works. Apparently, it works brilliantly. It's super fast. It's faster in some cases than, native machines that you can buy from other manufacturers like Dell.
Mm-hmm. And the problem, as I understand it, is that once you've downloaded it, and of course, you have to go buy Windows and install that, which can be, $200 or something like that?
$200 or $300, yeah, depending on the version you get.
But then it won't run both operating systems at the same time. If you want to switch, you got to, log off.
That's right. You have to shut it down and restart into the other operating system.
And go ahead.
There are advantages and disadvantages to that. The advantage is that it's a very fast machine. It's a native Windows box at that point.
And
you get a lot of you get the speed benefits.
And we were saying this only is usable on the Mac machines that have the Intel chip.
Right. The newest machines, but the whole line is going to be switched over this year. So. Anyone who buys a new Mac from now on will be able to do this.
We're talking with Leander Caney, the managing editor at Wired.com and author of The Cult of Mac blog. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. We don't care which kind of computer you send it from. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Gary. Gary's with us from Portland.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a comment. I wanted to say that this is a horrible idea because Macs are for creative people, and now we're going to have stuffy business people using our machines.
Ah!
there's definitely that. Some people are very afraid of that reaction, that they're no longer special anymore. They're just another bean counter's computer.
And they're going to have the suits of all people using Macs.
Right, but I don't think it's in any danger of becoming, a commodity PC anytime soon. I mean, when you have 2-4% of the market, there's a long way to go before you become commonplace.
Well, thank you.
Gary, thanks very much for the call. There are, of course, a fair number of programs that you really have a lot of problems running on a Mac.
Well, I think that's one of the old myths that people say, that there's no software for the Mac, and there's less software for the Mac, but it's only very specialist applications that aren't, and there's probably hundreds of them, but it's things like dental billing or certain construction programs. There's not much mainstream software that's not also available for the Mac.
All right, let's get another caller online. This is Jeff. Jeff's with us from Sullivan, Indiana.
Oh, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yeah, we went ahead based on that news and bought a Mac Mini. Did it for one real reason, and that's because of the viruses out there, least, you know, 2% of the market is Mac, and very few viruses are written for the Mac, and we figure that was the way to boost our protection via email and not get a virus.
Leander Caney, viruses are written a lot for Windows programs, so if you're running Windows on a Mac, are you virus-proof?
No, not at all. It's just as vulnerable as Windows on any other machine.
As long as you're running XP, but if you're running the Apple software, then there shouldn't be any cross-platform transfer of the virus, the way I understand it.
Right, that's absolutely right. If you're running Mac OS X, you're not going to be infected by a Windows virus.
Yep.
In fact, you know, my inbox is bombarded them daily, and I can open them up with immunity. Nothing happens.
Oh, sometimes we'll get 700 emails a day, and we're a small business, and most of them have viruses in them.
Right, indeed, yeah.
That's why we made the switch.
It won't protect you from spam, though, or phishing scams.
A lot of that, yeah.
Everyone's afraid of that. But, yeah, the virus is it's definitely one of the major advantages. I mean, these big virus pandemics will shut down entire networks, you know, big corporations.
We're concerned about the zero-day thing happening, and but yeah, that all we're doing that for is for the email, for kind of our poor man's protection against viruses, besides the firewalls and the virus software, and that's why we went this route.
It's a good strategy. I think a lot of small businesses are looking at Macs for exactly the same reason. Now that they run Windows, it's one less reason for companies not to switch.
Jeff, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's talk with Eric, and Eric's with us from Athens, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say I love the idea of the boot camp software because being a student, it's really hard to integrate my Mac with other Microsoft-based systems on campus and other places.
And that could be a problem for a lot of people, Leander Caney.
Yeah, I think this is very true. Yep, it's going to make that networking seamless for when you have to get into those systems, like using VPN or a special database or special email software that corporations standardize on, like Lotus Notes or stuff like that. Yeah, that's going to remove all those headaches. You just boot into Windows for the period of time that you need to get certain tasks done, and then back to the Mac for everything else.
Eric, thanks for the call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And let me ask you, Leander Caney, before we have to let you go, this is the present, but what about the future? There's something called virtualization that'll let you, as I understand it, run Mac. It'll let you run the Windows program and Linux on the same machine and toggle back and forth.
Right, indeed. We just did a story about this today. That seems to be a huge advantage. Now that all of these operating systems run on the same Intel-compatible hardware, you'll be able to run Mac OS X and Windows simultaneously without shutting down and rebooting.
And
unlike the old emulator programs, these virtualization systems are much faster. So there's not the kind of performance hit and sluggish performance that emulators in the past were plagued by.
And how long is it going to be until the day after tomorrow and this is available to everybody?
There's one available today as a public beta that you can go and download for free. That will let you play around with this, and then they're going to release a full version in several weeks for $50. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other companies are also looking into this as well.
Yeah, the day after tomorrow keeps coming faster, doesn't it?
Indeed, yeah. All of a sudden, all these options opened up this week.
All right, you can read about this, I guess, at Wired.com. Leander Caney, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Leander Caney, managing editor at Wired.com and co-author of The Cult of Mac blog. Well, I'm going to be away for a bit, and we'll talk to you next from San Francisco on the centennial of the great earthquake and fire. And Michelle Martin will be sitting in for me, but of course, Ira Flatow will be here tomorrow with Science Friday as usual. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.